بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the class on the Salah described. And we came to the point where we were talking about the congregational prayer and the praying of the singular person behind the rows, in the back of the row. What about the case if there is the singular person is a woman, and then the correct opinion here, her salah is valid because she has no place with the men who have their rows complete. And the woman's praying behind men is valid when she is praying in singular, because legally she cannot be standing with them. Yeah. And also, if the row of men is complete, the one in front of her, then also physically she will not be able to stand there. But more importantly, to state that legally this is not her place to be in the same row. What about the situation when a singular woman is praying behind woman in a congregational prayer for women? It is invalid for her to stand by herself behind the rows of women in a congregational woman prayer. And also the same holds in terms of her praying behind her woman imam. It's not valid for her to stand behind her. And with respect to the woman imam leading the prayers in a congregational woman prayer, then she stands in the row, because this is shielding, meaning she doesn't move forward as in the case of men. And shielding is required from woman to the best of her ability. And therefore, her standing between the woman and the row is more shielding than her being in the front. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and Salama stood, whenever they led women in Salah, they stood in the row. We mentioned also earlier the matter concerning, or the issue concerning the principle of women praying in congregation, meaning not with men. And this was studied earlier in a previous discussion, and we knew the position of the scholars regarding that. Some of the scholars mentioned went to the opinion that it is a sunnah, meaning the congregational prayer for women alone, from away from men alone. That it is a sunnah because the Prophet ﷺ commanded Waraqa to lead her family in Salah. And the second opinion is that it is disliked. And those who went to this opinion considered the hadith of Waraqa to be da'if, to be weak. The third opinion, that it is allowable. That is because women are from the people of jama'ah, of congregation in general. And that's why it is allowable or permissible for her to attend the salah in the masjid in congregation. And so therefore, according to this opinion, establishing the woman and jama'a in her home is permissible. And this is also considered from the angle of shielding, that it is more shielding. And our Shaykh rahimahullah, as we mentioned when we discussed this point, considered this is no harm if she does this sometimes, the congregation prayer with women. Also, when a woman is praying with another woman, it is recommended that they be in, they form a, she stands next to her, and this is more shielding, meaning not to have one of them leading in front while she is behind her, because this is more shielding. Now, in case we have the congregational prayers in masjid, then in the masajid, in the mosques, then those who will stand behind the imam will be the men, then the children, then the women. This is the order. In general, this is the order, because we will see now with respect to the children that there is some detail. And as when we say the men, meaning the adult men, and the evidence is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith reported in Sahih Muslim, when he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Liyalini minkum ulul ahlami wal nuha," let those who are more sedate and prudent be near me. And this is a command, and with respect to the command, the least is that is to be taken as a recommendation, the least. And this hadith, the meaning of this hadith entails that men proceed to be behind the imam, because they are more preserving in terms, in cases where the imam would in case the imam would forgets or commits an error concerning a certain verse, or if he needs to leave the salah under certain legal excuse, then the one from the men who stand behind, he may replace, he may request to him to lead. Then afterwards, the children, then comes the children, and the woman will take the back side behind the imam and behind the children, because this will be the position, this will be the best for them. As the Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُ صُفُوفِ النِّسَاءِ آخِرُهُ.
The best rows for women are the last rows, and the worst are the first ones.
The best of the rows of men are those in the back. This hadith entails that the rows of women should be behind the rows of men. And this order is applicable as long as there is no impediment. This order is applicable as long as there is no impediment. Like, for example, in situations where there will be a gathering of kids, we should not allow that, because this will cause disturbance. And we know from a great foundation in fiqh that the merit associated with the essence of the worship takes precedence for consideration than the merit associated with the place of the worship. So therefore, in this case, we say there is no doubt that the place of the children will be behind the men, but if there is distraction and disturbance of salah for other kids and also for the adults, then in this case we should give more consideration to solve this problem than giving the consideration for the place of standing. So what should we do? As some of the scholars, rahimahumullah, mentioned, it's possible to put an adult between the children. And even this, even if this would mean that some of the men will end up being in the second or the third row, depending on how many kids or children we have. Why? Because this will permit a benefit, and this benefit is the khushu', the tranquility in salah, and no disturbance. And this is related to the essence of the worship. And that's why it takes precedence over the merit associated with the place. Is that clear? Again, all what has been mentioned so far in terms of this ordering, this is different with respect to a situation where if the child comes early and ends up being in the first row, then in this case the preponderating opinion chosen by some of the scholars is that he should not be removed from his place for someone who's coming late from the adults to take his place. And from the scholars who went to this opinion is the grandfather of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and his name is Majduddin Abdus Salam Ibn Taymiyyah, and he was a scholar, a known scholar. And this opinion is based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, من سبق إلى ما لم يسبق إليه أحد فهو أحق به. Whoever gets ahead to that which others did not, then he is more entitled to. And this hadith is reported by Abi Dawood, and some of the scholars considered it weak. Nevertheless, those who took by this hadith, they said this hadith is general in what it entails. It covers many things regarding whoever gets ahead of another to a certain thing. He is more entitled to that thing. In addition to the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he forbade that a man removes a person from his brother from the place to take it and sits in it instead, because this is considered, and this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, because this is considered to be a transgression. This is from transgression. Now comes the issue, therefore. Now we understand the matter now with respect to situations where the kids may come early and stay in the first row. You know, the preponderating opinion is that they should not be removed from their place. Is that clear? Now, if someone raises the issue now and say that the hadith, whoever gets ahead to that which others didn't, then he is more entitled to, that this is general hadith in its entailment, then what about the more particular hadith? Let those who are sedate and prudent be near me. This is particular. And the foundation is that if there is a general and a particular, then the particular particularizes the general. Is that clear? If someone raises this issue, what would be the response? The answer is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, no one except those who are sedate and prudent should be near me. You see the difference now between the two? He didn't say this. However, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let those who are sedate and prudent be near me. And this is incitement. This indicates incitement for the elder to proceed forward and be near the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is that clear, the answer? So the indication of this hadith is that for the elder to be close, but it doesn't prevent others. Right? Is that clear? How about the others in the room? Yani the Prophet ﷺ did not say, none except those who are sedate and prudent should be near me. He didn't say that. Also, there is another bad consequence that may arise due to the displacement of the child from his place. And if these kids are 13 and 14 and then you displace him, it may cause an impact such that he may end having an enmity towards this person who removed him or displaced him. Because generally the kids, generally they don't forget what's done to them. You agree to that? You understand, I mean. This order, the order we mentioned so far, the men near the imam, followed by the children, in accordance with the details we mentioned, and then the woman, is the same regarding their places in funerals, their places in the funeral prayer. What does this mean? It means that if there's a funeral for men and children and women, then they are to be placed in this order. The men, then the children, then the women. Now, is this positioning with respect to the positioning of the imam? The answer is, they are placed in this order in terms of their nearness to the imam. So if there is a man and there's a child and there is a woman, so the man, the deceased, will be placed in front of the imam. Then the child, then the woman. And we place the head of the man opposite to the middle of the woman. Because it is in the sunnah, in terms of the funeral prayer, is that the imam stands by the head of the man and by the middle of the woman. Is that clear? Now, this order is recommended. This order is recommended. But if, in case, the opposite is done, the woman placed in front of the imam, then followed by the men so they end up being closer to the imam than the men, then it is valid in terms of the validity. It is valid. However, this order is recommended. The order we mentioned, men closer to the imam, in front of him, then comes the children, then the woman, in the positions mentioned earlier. You understand now that this is a matter of praiseworthiness and recommendability. And it doesn't invalidate the salah. Now, if a woman dies following delivery, and we bring her with her child also who dies, assuming both died due to delivery complications, and we need to pray the funeral prayer on them, then there is, in this case, if the child is a boy, then he will be the one in front of the imam. And if she is a girl, then his mother is to be placed before him in front of the imam, because she is elder than him, and the elder has a merit. Due to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, Kabbir, Kabbir, begin with the elder and the elder. Is that clear? No, this is for the funeral. We mentioned this. This particular segment is on the funeral prayer. The order in the funeral prayer. We mentioned this in the beginning. What about the situations when a woman is praying with two men? Is their salah valid? Is her salah valid? And their salah also, is it valid? The answer is, with respect to the validity, it is yes. Especially when there is necessity. When there is necessity. As in terms of Hajj, for example, during Hajj, in the Al-Masjid Al-Haram, and also when there are in the Masjid Al-Nabawi. However, under these situations, if the person who is close to the woman standing in such a position feels something, then he must draw aside. It's because some people are unable to stand next to a woman who is not from his mahrams, especially if she is young, or if she's got on her some kind of exciting perfume. The person may not be able to continue the salah. In this case, he must leave or try to stay away. And her also should seek a place other than this place, lest herself being a fitna for the men. And to the best of one's ability. What about situations where it may be that the woman is in front of the men? The woman praying in front of the men. So, you're standing in the row, and in front of you, women also in their rows. Is the salah valid? Yes, in terms of the validity, the salah is valid. But the woman in the masajid, under these situations, should try their best to pray away from the area of men. And especially, alhamdulillah, now there is more space given and allocated for them in Al-Masjid Al-Haram. And also in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi, they have their own place and section. But it may occur at certain times that there will be crowds, definitely. And we are talking about these exceptional situations, and in terms of the validity of the Salah and its invalidity, as you have heard. Now, what about a situation, a woman standing with a man leading the prayer? Then in this case, he is considered singular, because the woman is not considered from the people of Rhodes, in the case of men, meaning legally, she is not to stand next to the man in a row. This is what was intended to be given as a review on this class, which we had problems in sound last week when we wanted to, or yesterday rather, when we were discussing it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.